Our sermon text this morning comes out of John chapter 15, verse 18 through John 16, verse 4. It's John 15, 18 through 16, 4. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who has sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you.
Let's pray. God of grace and mercy, we gather today longing to hear from you, longing to know what you would have for us as your people to do. And so, God, we pray that we would hear your word and feel our own need of your help to live out what your word calls us to. Teach us now, we pray, by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The message today centers on Jesus' words to his people that the world will hate you. We must always remember context. The context of John so far has been Jesus speaking to and showing his love for his own. So Jesus loves his people and his people love Jesus. They want to be together. Jesus says, I'm going to go away, but Jesus says, don't worry. I'm going to prepare a place where we can be together forever. I'm going to go to the cross so that we can be together forever. Jesus, in his leaving, says, look, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to call you to do wonderful things for me, but I will enable you. Abide in me. And so it's after all of that that Jesus says, by the way, the world is going to hate you. So this is important because Jesus is not telling people that he doesn't care about that the world is going to hate him. He tells people that he loves dearly, right? He shows his love for them by dying on the cross for them. Jesus loves them very dearly, and they know that Jesus loves them. And so Jesus is, as it were, we might think of like a father who would gather his children around and say, I wish that the world didn't dislike you. I wish they didn't hate you. But just know that I love you, and I'm calling you to be faithful to me even if the world hates you. And I might even just say as a pastor, I would like to speak to the children here today. I would love to say to you, I wish the world didn't hate Christians. I wish they weren't opposed to them. I wish your life could be easier, that you wouldn't have to be in a world where if you stand for Jesus, the world will oppose you. I wish we lived in that sort of a world, but we don't. And at the same time, we have to say we don't live in that sort of the world, but this is no excuse to stop living for Christ. Be a witness for Christ. Continue to walk with him. Don't decide, well, this is so hard, I'm going to leave. Just continue to be faithful to Christ. The Lord will be with you in the hard time. That's our message. This is the way we should be receiving it, from a loving Lord who cares for us and says, look, you're going to try to do all the right things, and the world is still going to hate you. When we think about Jesus being loved, it just seems like an odd thing. He's just such a, it seems like everybody should love him. When he does what he is doing in order to bless them, they don't consider it a blessing. They say, we don't want anything to do with you. We don't like your message. And ultimately, they hate him, persecute him, and put him to death. And one of the things that we get from this passage then is that what are we supposed to do? And most of the passage is about the fact that you will be hated. There's two big takeaways toward the end of the text. You're going to be hated by the world, but keep witnessing, right? Keep sharing the gospel. And secondly, don't fall away. I mean, it's going to be hard. You're going to get tired of being not liked. Don't give up. Don't give up on the Lord just because it's hard. Okay, so let's hop into the text here. The world hates Jesus. That's where most of our text is going to be. The world hates Jesus. It'll hate us. But doesn't it seem so unlikely that the world would hate Jesus? Jesus comes into the world and he does wonderful things. He heals the lame. He gives sight to the blind. The hungry, 5,000, he feeds miraculously. He feeds 5,000. He raises the dead. You would think, doesn't the world want more of this? And yet Jesus was hated, probably not mainly on account of these things. He did all of these things. It was on the hard message that he brought. A message that says to people who he had just fed 5,000 of them, and he says, you're here because you got your bellies filled. This is what he says in John 6. But you should be here for something more. I'm the bread of life. And Jesus basically is addressing them in their sin and telling them they need a Savior. And they don't want to hear about that. We might think today that if Jesus had, you know, a PR firm working for him, they would say, hey, Jesus, maybe they're trying to get him elected in some way. And like, hey, Jesus, your numbers are up. Good job on the feeding of people. They totally love that. When you raised that guy from the dead, that was a good move. That was great. People love that. We notice your numbers start to trend down when you start talking to people about their sin. Maybe you could go easy on that sin part and about how they have to come. They can only get to the Father through you. Maybe you could cut down that. They like to think they can get to the Father on their own or in their own way without you. And so maybe you should just ease down your message. And Jesus could not do that. We could almost imagine a medical doctor who got the same thing. Hey, doctor, your numbers are great. Patients seem to really like you. When you tell them that they have cancer and that they'll need a hard treatment of chemotherapy to address it, they really stop liking you. If you could just stop talking about that. But a medical doctor wouldn't be a good medical doctor if they wouldn't talk to you about your disease, if you have a disease. In a similar way, we all have a disease, our sin disease. We don't want to hear about it, and we don't want to hear about the treatment, but Jesus would be no savior if he just gave us a bunch of food and good health and then left us in our sins so that we could die and go to hell. So Jesus was, by the way, he was not trying to be not liked, right? He was trying to save sinners. And the reality is that when this message goes out, some will believe, won't they? I believe I'm in a room full of people who have, by God's grace, been brought to believe. This is a hard message that the world generally doesn't like, and some do, in fact, believe. Praise the Lord for that. But just know this, the same message that was meant to be for your salvation is received as the news that they hate, and because Jesus insisted on giving the news that they hate on that basis, they hated him, they persecuted him, and they put him to death. And so we have now not only that Jesus is hated, but we have a reminder about why he was hated. Right? He says in John 8:34, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He's telling people that they're sinners and that if they don't believe that he's the Messiah sent from the Father, which is what they were rejecting, if they don't believe he's the only way, they're going to die in their sins, and they did not want to hear it. They hated that message. It made them so angry. And so Jesus is here in the world doing not just miracles, but signs. We talked about this a few times. Signs. They're not just miraculous things, but the sorts of things that would indicate this is the one that the prophets said would come and save people. They indicate that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. And our text speaks about this in verse 24. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. Well, what are the works that nobody else did? Well, these works, these signs, these indicators that he is in fact the Messiah. And what Jesus is not saying is these people weren't sinners and then they did one sin finally because I came. No, no, no. They were already sinners, but Jesus is speaking specifically about their sin of rejecting him. So he comes into a world of sinners and now he is doing the signs that proves that he's the Messiah and they are rejecting him as the Messiah. And now they're guilty of this sin of rejecting the Messiah. They wouldn't have been guilty had Jesus not come in and demonstrated that he was the Messiah and done all the things that he has done, but they reject him. And this is a sin, and Jesus says this sin they are now guilty of. Verse 22, somewhat similarly, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Again, what they're butting up against is Jesus is the only way to be right with God. And they thought, no, we can be right with God and not like you, Jesus. And Jesus says, it's impossible. I and the Father are one. I just tell you what the Father gives me to tell you. I've come and done what the Father has sent me to do. There's no way that you can be right with God unless you believe in Jesus. And that's the way Jesus spoke, right? John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus again now is saying to them that there's no option. Jesus didn't have the option of not telling people that they needed to come to him. He had to tell them that he was the only way. He had to tell them about their sins. And it was on the basis of him doing this faithfully that he was hated. So Jesus was hated and persecuted because he insisted that they believed what they refused to believe, that they needed a Savior and that Jesus was the only Savior. Some did come to faith through Jesus, but it was because Jesus did this, because Jesus insisted on preaching the gospel to them, that he was hated. Now, by the way, the world hates us. That's what Jesus also says in this text. It's clear. Jesus, the people who love Jesus and do what Jesus calls them to do, we also are hated. Now, the way that we would be hated makes more sense. I mean, Jesus, it doesn't make any sense that he'd be hated. It makes sense that we're hated. We're supposed to be good and we're not. We don't live up to what we mean to do. We're sinners, so it makes more sense. But it's also, why do they hate us? If we lived the way that God called us to live, there'd be good reason to like us. If we all really loved our neighbor, if we all really blessed those who cursed us, if we all really prayed for our enemies, if we all really were kind and peaceable in all that we did, the world should love us. And yet, Jesus insists we will be hated. We might even just say the more that we're like Jesus and the more that we talk about the message that Jesus talked about, the more we will be hated. If you were just a nice person and never told anybody about Jesus and that they needed to be saved, they probably would like you a whole lot more. I mean, you probably figured this out by now, right? If you didn't tell them that they were sinners and needed to come to Jesus for salvation, and you were just really nice to them, they would like you. It's to the extent that you preach the same message that Jesus preached. When you start telling them that they need a Savior, well, you could even back up and say that you needed a Savior and that you are only saved and right with God because you've come to Jesus and there's no other way for you to be saved. And then you tell them that they must do the same thing. Well, we've got a world that likes to think that they're tolerant, but they're not going to tolerate you telling them that Jesus is the only way. What about those good Buddhists over there? What about those Muslims? They're not coming to Jesus. What are you saying about them? We're just saying what Jesus told us to say, what Jesus insisted that we must say. No other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. The world hates that message. They don't have any patience for exclusivity of Jesus. You know, when they talk about how they should be right with Jesus, there's usually a pretty heavy dose of, well, it really just seems to me. It seems to me that if I were good, it seems to me that there would be lots of other ways. It seems to me. And yet we have the revealed word of God right here. We proclaim what we've received. And so Jesus now calls us to live faithfully to him and to proclaim the same gospel that he proclaimed. People do not want to hear that they need Jesus to save them. They like to think that they're pretty good. They haven't really gotten into much trouble, so they don't really need a Savior like some other people do. They know people who need a Savior, but they're pretty good on their own. And moreover than that, they don't actually want a king. Remember, Jesus comes in as a king. I mean, we've been reviewing this in our sermon from last week. Let's just review a few things. What were the things that Jesus was calling his people to do? Well, he was calling them to obey his every command. That's pretty broad. Obey my every command. Have your joy in me. Love one another. And be a faithful witness. Those are the four things that Jesus was talking about last week. How many of your unbelieving friends are really interested in this? A king who tells them how they must live their life. They're not interested in a king. They want to be a king. And so, to the extent that we do what Jesus calls us to do, and we proclaim the message that Jesus proclaimed, to that very extent we will be hated. Which now you're probably thinking, there's an easy out here, right? Just don't witness. Just be a good person and don't ever witness. And Jesus does not see this and talk about, you know, there's a couple routes here. You can either be hated or you can just be quiet. Either one's fine with me. Jesus has the assumption, no, you were saved to be a witness and you will be a witness. And when you are that witness, you will be hated. Jesus is not assuming there's going to be two options for you. The not be a witness route, Jesus isn't even addressing as if that's a valid option at all. You will, to the extent that you proclaim the gospel, be hated. And I'm just telling you, you're going to be hated. And so he says in verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Right? And again, Jesus wasn't hated because he was good. Mainly, he was hated because he proclaimed the message of the gospel to them. Into verse 19, ends the same way. The world hates you. Verse 20 says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Again, to the extent that you are like Jesus, the world will hate you. But make no mistake about it, you are supposed to be much like Jesus. Ever conformed to the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. Like him in the way that you speak, in what you do. Do you speak about the gospel? The more you speak about the gospel, the more you'll be hated. The more you live faithfully under the lordship of King Jesus, even that you'll be hated. So we join Jesus in proclaiming this message. Everybody needs a Savior, and Jesus is the only Savior. And the more that we proclaim it, the more that we'll be hated. And the more that we do it, it will bother people. You've probably experienced this in your own Christian life. You're at work, somebody's telling a joke that nobody ought to be telling. You won't join in the laughter at this foulness. And they're like, oh, you think you're so good. They won't put up with it. You must at least give the courtesy laugh, right? I mean, who do you think you are? It bothers them if you won't act like they act. It bothers them if you're going to live your life faithfully to walk in obedience to him. Because you tell them that they have to live under King Jesus. And if your life is lived under King Jesus, you're saying, this is not just word service I'm giving here. I'm not just saying live under King Jesus, but I live my whole life however I want. No. Jesus demands that I live the way that he commands. And I am, by his help, committing myself to do that. so that they know that this gospel you proclaim, that there is a king, that we must live under his lordship, is not just lip service. This is what you're trying to live out by God's help, and that bothers them. They don't want to be reminded that there's a king that they're in rebellion against. They don't want to be reminded about their sin. They don't want to be told that they need a Savior. They don't want to surrender their lives to him. And they hate that you do all of that. Well, in this sense, this is what it takes to be hated. Now, by the way, we're like Jesus in this. We're not going out of our way to be hated. We're trying to love them by living this way and teaching this truth. So it isn't being a Christian is not doing all you can do to be hated. Do what you can do to show love and compassion for sinners like you and tell them about the gospel. Right? Your goal is not to be hated. Your goal is to be, as it were, thanked. Thank you enough for telling me the truth that I actually didn't want to hear at the time. You knew I didn't want to hear it. You told me anyway. And praise the Lord, the gospel came and I came to saving faith through your witness. That's what you're up to. But just know, if that's what you're going to spend your life doing, many, many people will hate you because that's what you're doing with your life. And so now we come to the sort of toward the end of the text, and we say, well, what do you do if you are living in a world in which you're hated, like Jesus, your Savior, is hated? What are you supposed to do? And the first answer from verses 26 and 27 is keep on witnessing. Don't say, well, I mean, if witnessing gets me this kind of trouble, I guess I'll stop. Verse 26 speaks about how Jesus had been giving a particular message and he was going to go away and he was going to send someone who was going to witness, bear witness to him, and that's the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus has been witnessing about himself, and now he was going to leave, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He'll tell the truth too. Just like Jesus said, you are a sinner, and your only way of hope of salvation is by coming to the Messiah, the Spirit will continue to bear witness about that. Which, by the way, means that we are not alone in our witnessing. We will bear witness by the help of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus first tells to his disciples. Look, so the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness to Christ, giving the same message that Jesus gave. Jesus is the only way. You need a Savior, right? And then he tells his disciples to bear witness. Verse 27, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So there's like a team, as it were. The team of the Holy Spirit, who's going to bear witness to Christ, and the disciples who are going to bear witness to Christ. And of course, he's speaking to the immediate disciples then, but don't we have that same message? Don't we have that same Holy Spirit? We have the same Holy Spirit, and we have the message of the disciples recorded in Holy Scripture. We have the message of the gospel right here. And so let me remind you of our task of bearing witness also, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you have salvation, you do. You have the Holy Spirit that you might, with the Holy Spirit, bear witness to the Savior Jesus Christ. Every one of us, though, is an ambassador for Christ. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. That's what we do. Every one of us are ambassadors. We're left here to bear testimony, to speak on behalf of Jesus and speak the truth about Jesus. So what do you do when you live in a world in which you're hated? Does Jesus say, well, just stop being an ambassador? Don't, you know, forget the Holy Spirit? No. Continue to do what I sent the Holy Spirit to do, what I sent the Holy Spirit to do through you, which is be an ambassador, share your faith. The world is going to hate you. Return to Jesus as the loving Father. I wish they didn't act that way. I wish they would all repent. But it is, you don't live in that sort of a world. You live in the sort of world when you try to help them and you try to tell them what they need to know to be saved, they will hate you because of it. And I wish it wasn't like that, but that is the world in which we live. And just be strong, brothers and sisters. So then he says in the beginning of chapter 16, I'm telling you this right now because I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to give up on this. I don't want you to say, this is so hard. This is thankless work. This is like, I'm telling them all of this. They hate me because of it. Like, I'm just giving up. Maybe something's wrong here. So in verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 1, he says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. I don't want you to stop doing the work. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think they are offering service to God. That's mixed up. They think they will kill you thinking they are helping God. They're serving God when they do that. Verse 3, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. These people do not know they reject Jesus Christ. They are not rightly related to the Father. And even though they think they are serving God, they are not serving God. And Jesus is just saying, look, you know, you might get kicked out of places where you'd like to be. Right? Even some will be so against Jesus that they will kick you out of what's supposed to be a place for worshiping God. They'll actually think that they're doing service to God. And remember, Saul did that, right, before he was converted. He would go and kill Christians. He thought he was serving God. And that's mixed up, isn't it? I think the irony, John has a lot of irony in it. The irony is that Saul thought he was glorifying God when he was killing Christians. The truth was, God was still glorified in that, wasn't he? He was glorified through the martyr. The martyr still brought glory to God. Saul, in his killing of Christians, did not bring glory to God. The martyrs did. God still got glory in that. It's a wonderful way that God still works despite those who reject him and hate him and kill his people and hate his people. The Lord still works in ways to bring great glory to himself. Well, verse 4, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Jesus is basically saying, look, I'm telling you now that in the future people will hate you, so that when you get in a situation where people hate you, you won't think something must have gone wrong. This isn't right. I'm preaching the gospel, so everybody should like me. Like, you'd be caught off guard if Jesus didn't tell you in advance. So Jesus just says, I'm telling you this. You will do the right thing. You will do it for the right reasons. You will tell them exactly what they need to be saved, and they will hate you because of it. And when that happens, it doesn't mean that something's gone wrong. I knew that this is the way that it happens, and I want you to know that I knew this, so that when you're in the middle of being hated, you don't say, well, I better give up because I must be doing something wrong. No, if you're hated because you're faithfully sharing the gospel, you must be doing something right. And we need this assurance from the Lord. So here we are, just trying to sum up here. Look, we believe in the true gospel. We got this gospel because the Father gave it to the Son. The Son said everything the Father gave him to say. And the Holy Spirit comes in and bears witness that this is the true gospel. There is one true gospel. We are all sinners. Jesus is the only Savior. He's the Messiah who came to fulfill Old Testament expectations. And there's no other way to be right with God than coming to Jesus. That is the truth. You must know it. The triune God affirms that this is the truth. And we as true disciples are proclaimers of this truth. We receive the truth to the salvation of our souls, and then we proclaim this truth because that's what he's left us here to do. We do it not in our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're weak, we abide in Christ, and he strengthens us to do it. But this is the work we must do. This text is telling you how you're supposed to live your Christian life and how you are expected to be a Christian witness. And yet know that in your witness you will be opposed, you will be hated. But when this happens, don't stop witnessing, keep witnessing. And when this happens, don't give up. Just abide in Christ. Depend on him. He will see you through. He will strengthen you for the work he's called you to do. Don't use the opposition of the world to make you give up, but just be emboldened to rest more in Christ, depend on him more, and continue to give you the work until Jesus comes back. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for a glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has saved our souls. We praise you, God, that today we can reflect on how the truth of the gospel has encountered our life in such a way that by your grace we have believed. We are saved by this gospel message that Jesus bore our sin and our punishment in our place, and that we can only be right with God through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the effective work of the gospel in our hearts today. Lord God, we are also thankful for Jesus' frank truth that we will be hated when we try to love people by giving them the gospel. They will perceive it as hate. They will hate us. Thank you for preparing us for that. Thank you for helping us to see that we're in good company when we're hated for sharing the gospel, because Jesus was hated for sharing the gospel. Such hatred is hurtful, can be dangerous, it can lead to persecution. You know our weakness. You know that we would want to quit. You know that we would want to do what it takes to dial down the hate and dial down the opposition. And yet, Lord God, you teach us to be bold. That when we're hated for preaching the gospel, we continue to preach the gospel still. That when we feel like giving up, that we don't give up, because we know that it's not something's gone wrong that we're hated, but something has gone right. So teach us to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel in such a way that we, as in all areas of our Christian life, live in full dependence upon you by abiding in you, by doing everything through prayer, by resting in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with what we are proclaiming, that the gospel is the only way of salvation, that there's no other way. We pray, Lord God, that the gospel would go powerfully from our lives to a world that needs to hear it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.